Session number 20589, Reel 7.
Then just one or two sort of questions here. What was your state of health by then? I mean, you'd been in France for a while, haven't you?
Quite good. Good, yeah.
Most people were sort of surviving all right physically, were they? You know, they were feeling quite healthy and so on.
Well, we were very well, that kind of thing was very well monitored. And I might add that we had a very, very good regimental quartermaster who made sure that we got our proper rations, and we had a very good, he was an old regular soldier. In fact, he was over age, really. There was no need for him to go. He was over age, but he went.
What was his name, do you remember?
Major Warnock. Very, very good quarter. He really looked after the welfare of the regiment. Mm.
So, I mean, what sort of standard of appearance and kit was expected now you were in?
Well, the people used to shave. Because I didn't used to shave all that much. People used to, well, you had a wash when you could, and a shave.
Did they inspect you? Not as such, no.
They didn't, they just made sure that people were looking after you. You had to look after yourself. You were responsible for your own well-being, you might say.
Did anyone suffer from lice or any other pests?
Not at that time, but I've suffered from lice and diarrhoea later on in Holland and Germany.
Right. I mean, the bit we've talked about so far has been in the summer, so...
Yes, it's September now, yes.
So, how else did the regiment look after you? Talked about welfare, you know,
you always could sense that they were looking at the general condition of the men. Yeah, I always felt that.
Did you get any post, or were you able to write home?
Oh, yes, we had post. Whenever it was convenient, and... you used to write home, but you had to leave the envelope unsealed because I don't know whether they censored everyone, but you left the envelope unsealed.
So you had quite a strong bond now with everybody.
Well, people were coming and going. I mean, there were some of us. Went the whole way from beginning to end without missing a day, but not many. But the people were coming and going, and you never got all that much. Well, you knew people, you had people that you spoke to, people you liked, people that liked you, you might say.
That's the end of Reel 6. This is R. Wigmore, Reel 7. Okay, so we got to Antwerp, where the cobbles were very rough to march on. So what happened at Antwerp?
We went to the theatre.
Which theatre was that?
Well, I can't remember. There were some entertainers. Some were divisional entertainers and some were local local Belgian entertainers.
And this was put on in a camp for you, was it?
We went in the trucks. It's pitch dark, you see. We're all blackout. And also, Antwerp had the doodlebugs.
And, so, was this a theatre in a...
In Antwerp, a proper theatre in Antwerp, yes. Yes, not a field theatre, no.
So what did you see there?
Variety show, people singing, and the comedian. I can't remember a lot about it. All I remember is some girls singing on the stage and a British comedian who I think came from the divisional concert party, but I never saw much of them. I think we were too far forward.
Yeah. So those were some of the first girls you'd seen in a while, then?
Oh, yes, yeah, well, I wasn't bothered. You were just concerned with what you were doing, like. Mm-hmm. And from Antwerp, by then it would have been September, wouldn't it? From Antwerp, we went into... I can't remember any actions round about that time. We were billeted in a big modern school for a couple of days. Quite comfortable. The cooks were there with their field cookers and cook some decent food for a couple of days in a big school in Antwerp. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose we must have moved into Holland, advanced into Holland.
Was and this before Arnhem? Before the
Yes, before Arnhem, yes. We advanced into Holland. And as I say, you don't know the big picture. We advanced through Eindhoven, and when we were going through Eindhoven, all these workers were coming out of Philips' factory. Thousands and thousands of these workers coming out of Philips' factory, Philips of Eindhoven, on bikes. And we just couldn't move. And for a quarter of an hour, we were just static. We just couldn't move. Anyhow, after they had gone, we carried on. And we were in the back of a truck, and we were singing, and the company commander stopped the column and said, "You better keep quiet now," he said. "No more singing. You better keep quiet, because apparently the advance, the line of advance had been cut by the Germans for a few hours." And we eventually went over the bridge at Nijmegen. Incidentally, my wife and I saw that bridge last March. We went there. And we advanced over the bridge at Nijmegen and finished up at a place on the right flank, a place called Bemmel. Mm-hmm. And we were in defensive positions, apparently defending the corridor on the right flank. And by then we had been told, or we knew, that the 1st Airborne Division had dropped at Arnhem, And then we learnt that they was having a bit of a job, and they couldn't, this column couldn't get through to them. And after another day or two, we was withdrawn, and it poured and poured and poured of rain during that. Well, because the Arnhem operation had failed.
So where did you withdraw to?
After, I think we went back to in a, some camp place at, I can't remember whether it was Odin Road or Wyatt. It could have been either of those places. I remember being at St. Odin Road, and I remember being at Wyatt. But the next, in October, was the liberation of Schoettogenbosch. And just the Welsh division liberated Schoettogenbosch, because you learn all these things afterwards, but I think the people in that part of Holland were starving. And
where were you then?
The Schoettogenbosch.
You were there?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
so yeah. Were you part of the liberation?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So yeah. Tell me about that. the Germans were still in the town.
Well, I think at that time, I think there was a big battle going on in Holland, but not in our part where we were. But we liberated, the division liberated Schoettogenbosch. We advanced up to a place called Heerenbeek Crossroads.
So were you in vehicles here?
I remember with an officer and another man, which is usually an officer and two men, going forward of the regiment to see if the Germans were still there. But when we got to this track down this wood, we could hear the Germans' horse and carts pulling away. We could hear the horse and carts going. In fact, if we'd have been a minute earlier, we'd have contacted them face to face. But so anyway, we went back and said, "Oh, they're pulling away." And then I think when we had captured those crossroads, which were, in the very nature of things, they're always strategic, aren't they? Like crossroads. And
do you know what the crossroads was called?
Heerenbeek.
Heerenbeek.
Heerenbeek. And the Welsh advanced through us into Schoettogenbosch. Mm-hmm. And we were there.
What was it like last October?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
Well, I don't know, because we never actually went into Schoettogenbosch. I remember seeing the cathedral steeple, but other than that, we never actually went into Schoettogenbosch. We went up to reconnoitre, the whole company went up to reconnoitre a bridge over a canal. What canal? I can't remember. And as we approached it, the Germans blew it up. And of caused a bit of consternation at the time. They heard us come in, so they, when they thought we were on the bridge, which we were not, when they thought we were on the bridge, they blew it up. But of course, we were a bit too clever to walk over the bridge, knowing full well that it might be mined. And so anyway, what we went back to Air Company billets, well, billets in a wood somewhere. And Chateaugham Bosch was taken by the Welsh brigades.
Did you see any Dutch civilians?
Oh yes, at that time you started seeing a civilian, yeah.
Where did you see them?
In the houses, in... This particular time I went on this patrol to see if they had withdrawn, we went to a house, might have been two houses there, and we could see someone inside with a light. And so, of course, the door was locked, but I banged the door and some old lady opened the door. And I said, any Germans here? She said, no, they've all gone, or made me understand that they had all gone. So we went back and said, all the Germans have left.
Was she pleased to see you?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I might add here that... I don't know who produced them, I suppose Phillips did. They had a mechanical torch with a spring. You kept squeezing it, and it sent a flywheel round, which lit the torch. And you kept squeezing this torch with the lever on, and it was a torch with no battery.
Yeah.
Keep squeezing it. And you could hear them going everywhere at night. And, yes, like in the morning, daylight came and we got quite friendly with them. Because we weren't there very long. Yeah, when we reconnoitred that bridge, we went through a lot of water. And flood water. And we had a man in air section who was only about 5 foot tall, and I had to go back and pull him out. whereas it came up to our waist, it came up to his neck, our shoulders. And I had to go back and pull him out of this water.
What state were the civilians in?
Well, they were... By what I could make of things, they were living on what they could. Swedes. They were living on Swedes and vegetables or whatever they could.
Did you get any impression of how the Germans had treated them?
No, not really. To be honest, no, not really. They were quite friendly to us, of course, but I don't know, especially then, I wouldn't have understood the politics, and I don't understand the politics now. So I wouldn't have understood the politics of it all.
Right, so from there, where did you go after that?
Chateaugham Bosch, just by then it was getting off in November. Defensive positions and minor attacks, ousting Germans out of different places. Or when they knew we were coming, they went up to a point they went, and then that was a long, long winter. 44-45 was a very long winter.
So were you staying in one place at all, or were you moving constantly?
Well, we were moving around quite a lot, which I think they were moving the... You might be in a defensive position, and then someone would relieve you. I remember relieving people, and I remember being relieved myself. It was just a long, hard winter. But I think things came to a standstill, I think, in that winter. I mean, I don't, especially at the time, I don't know, not all that much, understand the bigger picture behind it all, why Arnhem had failed at Market Garden, had not been a success, and I suppose they had to plan their next move. And with that, we were in defensive positions, as I said, the odd minor attack here and there, ace Germans out of a wood or maybe a village or place.
So where would you be billeted this time?
Well, you were dug in. We did go in brickworks. Oh yes, so much went on. We went in a brickworks, and
whereabouts was that?
At that time, I think they had breached, the RAF had breached those big dams, and the floods came up, and you couldn't do much digging, because if you dug down, your trench kept filling up with water. And I remember being in a brickworks in Holland somewhere, I don't know where, and there were some Germans in a isolated house, were marooned by the floods. So when these next regiment relieved us, we had to tell them there's a section of Germans out there marooned, and I can't remember anything much about that, not up until the Ardennes in the December before Christmas.
Right. So when did you get to the Ardennes?
Well, we were all prepared. We were in a reserve position somewhere. We were all getting all prepared to have our Christmas dinner. And instead of Christmas dinner, it was all being prepared for the next day. And we were woken up. Oh, yeah, we must have been in a building somewhere, school hall, church hall, or we had blankets, which we was only issued with blankets when we were in a position like that. We never had blankets normally. We had leather jerkins, which were wonderful, leather jerkin. And we were woken up early in the morning, pitch dark early in the morning. Get ready to move, get ready to move. We got all the things together. I think we had about an hour or so to get ready. Got all the weapons, pitch dark. Got all the weapons together and all your personal kit, and thought, well, that's the end of it. So we'd given the general gist of things, that the Germans had broken through, Where are they broken through? Don't know, they've broken through. Oh God. Come all this way and they were going to start all over again.
And that was Christmas morning, was it?
I don't know whether it is actually Christmas morning, but it was pretty close.
Right.
Either Christmas Eve or something like that, yeah. And we thought, oh goodness, we come this far and then we've got to start all over again. And it was snowing. The roads were icy, and we got into these, at that time, they called kangaroos. Our kangaroos were Sherman tanks, a chassis, with a turret taken off, with all the inside all gutted out, inside the tank, and you could get about, maybe six or seven men in, which was, in my opinion, they were no good at all. And the roads were covered in ice, slipping and sliding all over the place. Oh, previous to that, we went from Holland to Namur in Belgium by the River Meuse. Namur in Belgium, that's right. Then from, we were at Namur a night, or maybe two nights. And it was from there we got into the kangaroos, from Namur. And they were slipping and sliding all over the place, these what they called kangaroos. And so the general opinion was we'd sooner be on our 2 feet. And as we approached the hills, they couldn't get up the hill. They were useless, as far as we were concerned, in that conditions. And as far as we were concerned, we'd sooner would have been on our 2 feet. So anyhow, we got out with these kangaroos, and they, what happened to them, I don't know. And we got into trucks, which were a bit better. And eventually got to a town called Marsh. Marsh in M-A-R-S-C-H. Marsh, I think it was spelled. In the Ardennes, and from then on we were walking, and it's about a foot of snow, very hard going, and we stayed in Marsh for a few hours, and then we had orders to move up to positions outside Marsh to take over from the Americans. And we took over from the Americans, and they had constructed quite a nice abbey, and took over from the Americans. They got out of the slit trench and we got in. Me and the other chap with me. And we walked the last 2 or 3 miles, but they had these big trucks. They went away in trucks. Well, some of them are marching.
Did you have a chance to talk to the Americans at all?
Not a lot, no. I just said to the American I took over from, I said, where's the Germans? He said, down there, down in those woods, down there. because it was pitch dark, you see, so we didn't know which was which way to face, really. And he said, oh, down there. So they got out and went. I said, cheerio. He said, so long, and that was that.
So you stayed there
then
for a while?